Hey, Culture and Conversations family. I'm your host, Jameson Smallwood, and I'm about to make you part of the conversation. Hey guys, thank you for downloading. Thank you guys for subscribing to, and thank you guys for sharing Culture and Conversations. I'm glad to be back with a regular episode of Culture and Conversations, and this episode is pretty awesome. Have you ever gone viral and become an instant meme? Well, I've got a great interview with someone who that happened to. Her name is Squat Bay, but she goes by Kaylin Elisa, and she's up next on Culture and Conversation sharing her story of becoming a instant meme. Also, in the news, I want to talk about this school that LeBron James started, the I Promise School, and I also want to compare it to another school that never got up off the ground. Up next on Culture and Conversations. Hey guys, this is Jameson Smallwood. Thank you for listening to Culture and Conversations. If it's not too much trouble, before we get too far into the episode, please go by iTunes or your favorite podcast application and platform and leave Culture and Conversations a 5-star quality review, letting people know that the show is worth listening to and that you're enjoying the content and these interviews and these perspectives that I'm bringing to you on the show. Thank you guys for all that you've been doing. Thank you guys for the kind words. Thank you guys for the support. Thank you guys for the encouragement. It means a lot to me. Also, I want to shout out some of the listeners that I am seeing showing up on the podcast statistics. There is a listener to the show in Sweden, and I don't know who that is. I've never been to Sweden, but thank you for listening to Culture and Conversations. If you hear this and you want to let me know that you heard this message about you, that listener in Sweden, please send me an email to cultureandconversations, and I would love to hear your story about how you found the podcast and what you think about the podcast. This person, this particular listener, is always downloading the podcast time it comes out, and I see them showing up in the traffic. So thank you for being a listener of Culture and Conversations. Now, this cultural insight and critique I have is about the school that LeBron James started. LeBron James made it his mission to start a school called the I Promise School. And right now, from the best that I know, it is a school that is going to cater to third graders and fourth graders, but they're planning to roll out additional grades as the school progresses throughout the years. And LeBron started this school because he wanted to create an academy where he gave students better opportunities than he had in his school experience when he was a child. And I thought it was really cool. One of the things about LeBron James, people debate his legacy on the basketball court, but to me, he has one of the great legacies of an athlete being an activist, being engaged, being opinionated, bringing his persona, his celebrity, and his accomplishments on the court into the civic arena so that he can be impactful and make a difference in the lives of people. This school looks interesting. It looks promising. It has a lot of fanfare around it, obviously, because it's LeBron James's school that he's producing, he's creating, and he is leading. So I want to see what happens with it, but I really want to just shout out LeBron and give him a lot of credit for executing on the school and his vision for what he wanted to do for the education of the children in the Akron community. He's even promising that if they go to the University of Akron, he's going to pay their tuition. So they're going to have scholarships to go to college if they want to go to the University of Akron. So it's not just a, you know, primary school. It's a complete educational experience, and he's going to do the best he can to make sure that it's as easy as possible for the students who are coming from the Akron community. Now, this is where I compare this school, the I Promise School, to the school that Dr. Umar Johnson wanted to start. For people who don't know who Dr. Umar Johnson is, Dr. Umar Johnson is a activist in the African-American community who went around for a couple of years basically evangelizing the need for specialized educational facilities and schools for African-American boys. And the message was well received in the African-American community because there are challenges that oftentimes African-American boys experience in public schools, in traditional educational systems. There's a lack of empathy at the least because of the differences in the representation between African-Americans and other races in the education system. So, you know, Dr. Umar came up with this idea, or at least this pitch, and that's what I'm going to call it, where he wanted to create a school. And he talked about his vision and he articulated it. He went around and spoke at every place he could. And I even had an opportunity to speak at a conference that he was a part. He was a keynote speaker of at my college, Georgia Southern University. And this experience that I had was when I first became aware of him. But, you know, keeping up with what he had going on, I started following him over the internet. And it soon became apparent after several incidents, as well as different people doing exposés on him, that he, at best, is poorly equipped to bring about the vision of a school. And at worst, he is, you know, a charlatan. He's a hustler. He's a he's using his platform as the high prince of Pan-Africanism to swindle people out of money. You know, people have a passion to see African-American boys helped and educated in a quality way. And he's leveraging that passion and desire in the African-American community to convince people to give him money to start a school. He created a GoFundMe account that, you know, the last number that I'm familiar with is that they raised about $400,000 through GoFundMe. But GoFundMe obviously has overhead. So, you know, he was complaining that he only was able to net from that whole fundraising effort roughly $250,000. And he was had a goal of, you know, wanting to raise about $2.5 million to buy a school and buy some properties and renovate them and turn them into a school. So, you know, he had to take the GoFundMe account down because apparently the state of Pennsylvania had issue with some of the claims he made about his credentials as a school psychologist and, you know, or clinical psychologist, whatever he claimed about himself and his credentials. Apparently there were some issues with that. And there was a hearing where he was being basically interviewed to see if what he said about himself was in fact true. And, you know, how would that impact his licenses that he has in the state of Pennsylvania to practice his particular area of expertise. So, you know, I compare these two people, Dr. Umar Johnson and their missions with, you know, his mission with LeBron James's mission, because it's important to see what execution looks like. And also it's important to see people executing with real platform, with real celebrity, with real wealth behind them, versus people selling pipe dreams. And I just wish we would examine these things better and press these things against what we see. Sometimes the best intentions of our hearts mislead us as people. And this is just in general, a general statement about people. And, you know, Dr. Umar Johnson is an example of what happens when people want to support an idea, but there's a lack of resources there. There's a lack of transparency there. There's also a lack of leadership and ethic there with Dr. Umar Johnson. So, you know, it still remains to be seen if he delivers on these promises that he's made over the years to create this school. But I have a hard time believing that he's just let that money sit in the GoFundMe coffers untouched and unused for anything else. So we'll see. He's got a very dubious history behind him. And for those people who care, you can just type his name into YouTube and you'll see all types of speeches he's made, as well as all types of critiques about him and his platform and his views. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'm going to definitely give LeBron James a big thumbs up, but I'm also going to continue to give Dr. Umar Johnson a big thumbs down. as we have yet to see him deliver on those promises. So, well, with that critique out the way, I want to talk about this interview that I've got coming up. I had the opportunity to reach out to someone who actually became a meme, Kaylin Elisa. She became a meme when she took a picture at a photo shoot that went viral on Twitter. And the picture became synonymous with confusion, or an expression of confusion by the person who sends out the meme. And it became an unbelievable amount of exposure for her, because her picture was used all over the internet in all different types of capacities. I've seen it used, you know, during the NBA playoffs when LeBron was upset with J.R. Smith and they replaced J.R. Smith's head with Kaylin's head. So, you know, to communicate J.R. Smith being confused about the score of the game. It was really cool to see the, you know, how this meme was used. But the coolest part was that I was able to reach out to Kaylin and she made time to be on Culture and Conversations. Kaylin is on Instagram and I started following her on Instagram and I was very persistent about getting her on the podcast. But you can imagine that when you have opportunities to come your way, because you've become internet famous overnight, then she had to obviously, you know, take care of those things before she did my podcast. But, you know, up next on Culture and Conversations, I have a great interview and a great conversation about becoming a meme with Kaylin Elisa, a.k.a. Squat Bay. Hey, Culture and Conversations family. Thank you guys for listening and thank you guys for being a part of the conversation. I have a very interesting and a very special guest. Her name is Kaylin Elisa, and Kaylin has a really dope story. Kaylin actually became a meme, and we're going to talk about what that is like to go from being just a random picture on your Instagram timeline to becoming known across the world as the person who communicates a certain level of confusion, I guess, because that's what the meme does. So the meme is known as Squat Bay, but some other sites have it posted as Squinting Woman and Squint Bay. But Kaylin was very emphatic about being known as Squat Bay. So let me welcome to the conversation, Kaylin. Kaylin, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm actually great. I'm great. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Just so my listeners can know that I have manners, let me thank you again for doing the podcast and making time for them and making time for me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's my absolute pleasure.
Cool. So let me start the conversation off at a higher level, because I don't want to just jump directly into the meme talk, but, you know, you seem to, how would you describe your personality? You seem to have an outgoing personality, but how would you describe yourself for people who are trying to kind of, you know, get to understand you a little bit?
I'm extremely outgoing. My mother used to tell me that I never meet a stranger, which is, you know, very true, which kind of got me in trouble as a child. But as of lately, it's been great. I mean, I value people for what they bring, just because they're a reflection of what I am. So I try to make as many connections as possible. So, yeah, I'm definitely a people's person. Super loud. I've always been very, very loud. Like I said, got me in trouble in childhood years. Still gets me in trouble to this day. But, yeah. So that's kind of me. I'm very, very me. Very, very outspoken.
Cool. I think some people would describe that as effervescent in terms of personality. So,
yeah.
I like trying to use that word in random conversation, effervescent, because it sounds like
a great word.
You can steal it if you like to.
I think I will.
Cool. So, you know, you know, you have this outgoing personality. Now, have you in the past tried to go viral, or was it just something that was totally accidental?
Yeah, no. I personally don't think that she's like, I mean, you can go viral, obviously, for like intentional stuff. But yeah, no, I never tried to go viral before. I didn't think that that's something that was called upon my life. So, you know, I wasn't going for it. So this is completely by accident. It was a picture in a group of pictures that just kind of made the you know, the text message I got sent. I was going through them, looking to see which ones I wanted to put on Instagram, and that one just happened to tickle me a little bit, and so put it on Twitter, and next thing you know.
So that's where the picture originated from. It was on your Twitter profile.
Yeah. I posted it with the caption, when you're trying to squat for the grand on your knees, give out on you or whatever. And that was the truth. That's what actually happened. And so I put that on Twitter just because it's like, LOL, you're going to see the after picture tomorrow on Instagram and Twitter. So let me just give y'all like the behind the scenes. And my lovely friends decided to go off with it and literally they started making captions immediately. Like, I couldn't believe it.
Wow. So who was the first person outside of your immediate group of friends that took that picture and posted it, and you were like, wow, this has really gotten around the internet pretty fast?
So his Twitter handle is going to kill me if I get it wrong. It's New York_Minute, I want to say. He has a substantial amount of followers, and so his tweet, along with my close friend Jada's tweet, actually is what went viral. But he was the first person outside of my friend circle for it to pop off with. And Lil Duval, he was the first celebrity to actually post it. So yeah, that was the first celebrity to use it. And so that was kind of cool. That was kind of cool to see that it had such a, you know, somewhat A-lister's hands, you know.
This is true. This is true. Now, I've got a funny story that involves you, and I thought I would bring it up because it made sense in the context of you, and you don't even know, you've kind of touched my life in a small way. So, back in the day, I was on Tinder, and I came across your Tinder profile, and when I saw the picture, I said, there's no way in hell this isn't a catfish. I'm like, who's going to go out here and take Squad Bay's picture and, you know, use it on Tinder? So I swiped left. And when your meme started to really pop and I kept seeing your picture all over the internet with these crazy captions and these funny captions, I went to your Twitter and I saw you had a caption on Twitter or post on Twitter that said, there's no way I'm going to be able to date now because no one thinks that my Tinder profile is real. I think that's what you said. And it made me laugh because I totally came across your profile and swiped left.
Yeah. I didn't understand that people, first of all, I think catfishing is so crazy. Like, that's just a phenomenon of me that has a show that's gone this many seasons. People still out here getting catfished. But when it started to happen, like, because what was actually happening was people were swiping right, and I was matching with a few people, and then they were, like, immediately saying, this is not you for real. Like, you use this go fishing. I was like, why would I do that? And I was like, that makes no sense. And then, so I literally had to like defend myself. So I had to like follow people on Instagram and just like to prove that it was me. And I was just like, this is too much. So I like stopped using Tinder for the longest because I was like, this is annoying.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been catfished before on Tinder, but I got reverse catfish. So, yeah, what happened was, Kaylin, is that the girl who I eventually went out with, she was using a less attractive woman's pictures. And so when I met up with her, she was a hottie. But I was sitting there like, you lied to me. So there was the logical side of me as a man that said, hey, she's a liar. But then there was the other side of me as a man that said she's hot. So needless to say, I sat down and had dinner and a conversation with her a couple of times. So, but
yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, she was psycho, though. So, you heard the very fact that she was just hiding behind these other people's pictures, that to me was completely weird. And sure enough, it showed up in other areas of her personality as well. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Always does.
Yeah. So, but that's funny that you had to defend yourself. Now, that brings me to one of the questions I wanted to ask you about this whole experience. How does it feel to have lost your anonymity as a person? Because when people see you, they may not instantly say, that's Squad Bay, but they may think, man, she reminds me of somebody. She looks really familiar. How does that feel to have lost that anonymity?
So I still think I have it because I don't think that I'm that recognizable, actually. Like, to be honest, I don't, people don't put two and two together quick enough for me to stick around for them to put two and two together. So if anybody ever, like, starts a conversation, depending on where I am, too, so, like, at my job, sometimes people are like, you look so familiar. And I'm like, oh, I just have that kind of face. Like, I get it all the time. Like, you know, it's just like, it's just, you probably just, somebody, I always like somebody's cousin, to be honest. And I got that before everything happened. Like, I got that I had a familiar face.
Mm-hmm.
So I just go with that. Unless they come back with it. Now, I work at a hotel. So I've had several guests that come back after the fact and be like, no, I knew I recognized you from somewhere. And they show me a picture, then I'll fess up. But if that does not happen, I don't offer the information out. That's just not my vibe. Now, at bars and stuff, most of the time they're recognizing me and they know exactly who I am. I don't do the pose in public. I'll never do the pose in public. I will take pictures with people. I will never deny somebody taking a picture, but I will never do that pose because that is what will link me to being me. I also change my hair as often as possible to keep people guessing. But I still have maintained me. I'm still not getting bombarded in the street, so that's good. But it's funny. It's funny when it happens. It's never been anything that's been, like, super aggressive. The only time that I didn't want it to happen, and it did, was at my friend's wedding. So I didn't want any attention to be taken off of her. Luckily it was towards the end of the wedding and they were about to leave, so it wasn't too crazy. But that really wasn't what I wanted to happen that day at all. But at least it wasn't anything that was too detrimental. So I still kind of have held on to it thus far. It's not too bad yet. I think me changing my hair all the time is really what's working in my favor.
Well, I mean, I think too, along those lines, that your face in the picture that is used for your meme, you're kind of, I hate to say contorting it, but you do have an expression on your face.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
I contort it, right. Mm-hmm.
So when you look at it, it's like, is that her? And then, you know, when I went in and connected the dots with the picture to your Instagram profile, and I saw the other picture that you actually ended up taking that you were working on for the shoot or whatever you were doing, then I was like, okay, that's her, you know. But you're right. It's not instantly one to one. When you look at you, you see the meme instantly, you know.
At a certain point in my life, I would like to be, you know, a familiar face, a household name, of course, but in due time.
Yeah. So do you worry about celebrity on a larger level? You said that you want to be, you know, more famous, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that because you have this opportunity if things continue to conspire in a certain way for you to be that way. But do you ever have any concerns about celebrity, about getting more famous on the, you know, from being on the internet?
No. I think the issue with people who, I guess, kind of let fame consume them or overwhelm them, I think you, one, have to look to yourself to see where your center is before everything happens. If you're off balance for anything, of course you're going to be swayed in either direction. Because I've taken the time to, like, really learn myself and love myself, and I know what I actually want out of life, there's not too much that anybody could say or do to persuade me off of my life's journey, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I have a very solid group of friends. Out of the group of friends that I have, so some of the ones are Jada, Mia, Claire, and Danny. They're some of the first ones that ever retweeted that meme and kind of helped, like, push it to where it was. And between the five of us, we don't let each other get away with too much, you know. So it's not going to be like, I'm never gonna start to act crazy. And I don't get a phone call from somebody saying you're showing your ass, and when, like, people are watching. Even things like now, you know, whenever I'm questioning something or if I, you know, I'm hesitant of doing an interview with certain people or whatever, I always call them and I ask them what they think about it and get their opinion. And they always are there to keep me grounded and to give me four different viewpoints versus my own.
Sure.
So I feel like the combination of my own centeredness and then of course my friends. I don't think I would have any issues. Even like my little I guess, first taste of what celebrities have to deal with are, like, the negative comments that come. I've gotten, like, a couple since then. And the majority of it is, like, body shaming, which is so 2006. But whatever. And so it's just, like I said, because I know who I am and I take the time to learn and love myself, I don't give a shit what you call me. Like, it doesn't matter what you say. It's not going to affect me. It's not going to stop my breath. It's not going to stop anything I'm doing. And there's a whole delete feature that Instagram has, so the comment don't even exist no more. So it's just like, I don't understand personally why celebrities go back and forth with people that make less than them. I wouldn't do it. I don't do it now. And people could make less or more than me. I don't know, but I'm not going to entertain that energy because it's not beneficial to anything that I want to do. And it only satisfies the person who took that time to write that comment. Like, joke's on you because the comment's on you've been blocked. Like, I'm not going to miss a beat with that. But I don't think that it would ever affect me. I think that, you know, I've heard every joke in the book. I mean, now that I have short hair, you know, I look like Cam Newton. Okay, cool. You know, I like Cam.
But
I like Cam.
He's wow.
But yeah, like anything else, like I said, body shaming, I live my life and I show parts of my body off and I share my fitness journey with people because as a young girl, you know, I did have some self-esteem issues as far as being an overweight athlete. That's such a contradiction, but I was a heavy set soccer player. I was a heavy set volleyball player. And so I was never the smallest girl on the court. 9 times out of 10, I was the biggest girl on the court, but it didn't matter. I still would beat your ass in any sport. I still would work hard to see my teammates. Like, it didn't really matter my size, but you're still dealing with societal rules and regulations of how to look. So yeah, it took me a while. Then college comes, you're on campus with a whole group of beautiful older women who you're comparing yourself with, and you're freaking 18 and they're 26, and you're like, and you forget that you have time to grow, and so you kind of have to deal with that all over again. And I don't want the girls coming up in this generation to have to deal with such a very long body journey. I want them to fall in love with themselves quickly, and I want them to stay in love with themselves regardless. And so that's why I'm very open about my body. That I would never, ever, ever, ever let somebody take my thought process away from being the best example for those girls in the next generation by commenting with that foolishness. Like, nobody has time for that.
No.
Nobody has time for that.
You know, I got so much to say to that. You know, I never would have thought about the negative stuff that would come because, you know, to be honest with you, Kaylin, you're not on the internet trying to sell your body as your ticket to fame. You know, you truly were just in a moment where you had some serendipity and now you have this following because you were a meme and you didn't. I mean, you know, to keep it 100 with my listeners, I mean, you didn't do anything ratchet. You know, it's not like you were out here,
right.
You know, and I saw your, you know, your, some video of you that's been reshared, you know, 10,000 times. And I was like, oh, you know, like, it wasn't like you did anything like that at all. You just took a picture that was funny. And people came at you with all that hatred, you know, trying to shame your body. And to me, that's so asinine because the meme has nothing to do with your body, you know? So, you know, I don't know if this is appropriate, but my listeners are probably thinking, well, there he goes shooting a shot, but like I would have swiped right, but you know, I just I just didn't think it was, you know, I didn't think you were you.
That.
So all right, with that aside, but I mean, to your point, I know let me pay that piece off about your relationship with the girls that you're trying to encourage to be at peace with their bodies. Yeah, I mean, I think that's such a side effect that I never thought about is that here you are truly having to be okay with yourself because now you've got so many people looking at you and that's part of self-esteem. That's part of being aware of yourself, but at the same time, not being self-conscious is just that, hey, this is who I am. And everybody's going to see who I am because I've got attention from people now. And I never would have thought that part of your journey with being a meme star is that you have to make peace with who you are. Because to me, it seemed like the reason you became a meme star is because you were at peace with who you were. You know, it was such an organic and authentic moment for you. So, wow.
Yeah, you know, that's true.
Humanity sucks. Man, people suck.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, completely. But, I mean, people live their life. And I mean, like, that's a part of the game of life. Like, if you know what you're put on this earth to do, then you are also going to be very aware of that. There will be people that will try to deter you by any means necessary. And if that means from the smallest of people picking you apart on social media to people, you know, in your professional life trying not to give you loans or trying to discourage your business plans, whatever the case is, you're going to get it from every direction. And that only means that you're walking in your truth and that you're walking in the direction that you were meant to walk in. So I'm never going to take any shade or any, you know, my favorite little comments were from when the meme actually went famous right before my Talk to Pop interview. We made a gift, and between that time, I probably had gained like 10, 12 pounds. Your girl was eating good, okay? The sex was rolling in. I was just, you know, eating the pasta that I love so much. And like, I remember, people, one girl was like, ooh, she done gained some weight. And I immediately commented, like, yes, ma'am, I have. I said, I have been eating fabulously and living life. Like, I think that the moment that we can take the joy from people from making comments like that, because they make it to hurt you. They don't make it to be funny. They don't make it to be cute. They make it to hurt you.
No doubt.
And I think when you steal that joy back and turn it to what you want to make it, it'll ruin every troll out on the internet. I mean, it'll absolutely ruin them. But what keeps happening is these celebrities now, they keep being into that bullshit. I just don't get it. Like, the shade room thrives off of comment creeping. Because yeah. They know these celebrities are going to go back and forth with these people. And I don't get it. I just don't understand it. So, yeah, I welcome all the negativity because I know that my light shines so bright that it's only going to bounce off of me and be teachable moments for other people that are actually watching.
Wow. Let me ask you this, Kaylin, as we begin to kind of transition towards the end of our conversation here. So, you know, you've obviously talked about this part of dealing with these trolls on the internet, which, you know, I can't believe somebody's trolling your meme. That still bothers me on some deep level, you know. But you know, what are some things that you've had a chance to do because you've become an internet celebrity in some sense?
So, like, some things I can't talk about, but I'm excited about. So there's been some opportunities that, of course, I never would have got had it not been for the meme. Some of the collaborations with Doubletree and my TurboTax bid that I did, that was awesome. That was a lot of fun to do that and to kind of see what it's like to be in, you know, a sponsored ad kind of person. That was really fun to go through that process with those companies. As far as, you know, just different things, like I was able to pay off a credit card, which is like something that's huge for me, with some of the stuff like that.
That's a win.
Like my own personal things. But I just think it's more so the biggest thing for me are the DMs that are so inspiring and so touching and so thoughtfelt from all over the world, literally all over the world. And to think that I'm having conversations with people in Nigeria and London and Ghana and Australia and France. And I mean, I'm literally just like gagging over the fact that it's other countries I am loved, and what I put out in the world, or kind of like whatever the world took, has been loved and really adorned for what I had no intention, you know, to do it for. So that is a blessing in itself. And I'm glad that it also has created a foundation for me to build upon as far as what I want to do long term. So, I mean, all of those things they're priceless. It's kind of indescribable what it actually means to me. If I could rip open my heart and pour my feelings out, that'd be the most accurate way to show what it means. But I mean, all that combination, I'm just grateful. There's just been so many things that of course never would have happened with it. But yeah, those sponsorships, that was fun though. That was really fun.
Yeah. And one of the things I saw to go along with those stories that you were just telling is that you got a chance to meet Stacey Abrams, the Democrat candidate for governor here in Georgia.
Yes. Now, Stacey, I actually met Stacey before I was Flabe.
Okay.
She took my heart. It was at a kind of small get-together event that someone put on at their house downtown. And that was my first, time. I remember because, you know, they text you and they ask you to sign up for stuff. And when I first found out about her, I obviously went on her website and signed up to receive messages. And so I was invited by somebody to an event, and it was like a charity event, but kind of like a you need to buy a ticket kind of event. And I was like, well, I ain't buying no ticket because I don't know what she about for real, for real. So I was like, let me go to an event that I don't have to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the campaign managers invited me to an event, and oh my goodness. I mean, she spoke for probably about 25, 30 minutes. She shared her life story, shared her family story. She shared her personal triumphs and struggles as far as politics were concerned. And the difference between her and other people that I've listened to in person is I can feel energy very well. And I didn't get anything fraudulent. I didn't get any bullshit vibes from her. I genuinely felt that not only did she care about the current people who were living in Georgia, but she cared about the kids that were coming up, and she cared about the kids who haven't even been born yet. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like, for somebody to me who ain't a Georgia native, I mean, she might have been raised, you know, she might have been raised up here in her later life, but for her to love the state that I was born and raised in the way she does was something that was very important to me. And when I met her and actually got to give her a hug, I mean, talk about an explosive moment. Like, I could just, I mean, the energy radiating off of her was ridiculous. I mean, it was absolutely ridiculous. And so after that, she had me hooked. So fast forward a couple months later, when somebody reaches out to me about being a part of, helping bring a little more buzz to her and coming to an event, of course, like, absolutely, of course. Anything and everything I can do to get Stacey elected, especially now that she's running against Brian, endorsed by Trump Kemp, has to happen. Like, I will go to the ends of the earth to make sure that everybody is registered to vote and everybody can get to elections on the 20th, because it has to happen. And not only does it have to happen for Georgia, but it has to happen for our country, because having a black governor who is a woman is going to shake the table, literally shake the table. The number of women that have been winning political office all over the country is one thing. The number of women running for Congress is another thing. But a black female governor that graduated from an HBCU child is exactly what this world needs to see happen. And so I'm blessed to be a part of that, and I'm blessed to, you know, maybe have sparked a few votes, you know, with the collaboration. And so, you know, that really was a blessing. I'm glad you brought that up, because that was, yeah, that's been really important to me too.
Yeah, that's cool. I've been definitely following along your journey on your Instagram, because it gives me insight into, you know, what helped kind of produce this moment that's going on in your life. And I didn't want to, you know, just come into our conversation, you know, just like, hey, let me just go and reach out to somebody who, without kind of having some feeling and some context around who this person was. And, you know, one thing I will say is that, Kaylin, you're awesome. You have a really good spirit about you. And I'm really, as much as I can be, as just somebody who, you know, came to know about you through the internet, you know, I'm happy that everything is going as well as it's going in your life. And I hope you continue, you know, just being awesome. Don't let the haters win, because that's all they can do. You know, they can just hate, you know, that's all they can do is hate. So, yeah.
Right. Haters will never win.
Yeah. They'll never win. So Kaylin, do you have any? never. They will never win. So,
never.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, Kaylin, do you have any social media that you want to shout out?
Sure. Yeah. So my Instagram is Kaylin_Elisa. My Twitter is Solo_Kaylin. I don't do Snapchat anymore. And that is really all that I use.
That's smart. So, and just so that our listeners will know, are you on any dating sites that they should, you know about, so they, if they see your profile, they know it's actually you?
So I'm back on Tinder, but I don't consider Tinder a dating site. So really, I use Tinder because I am open to, like, dating now.
Sure.
More so than I was in the years prior to. So I use Tinder kind of as, like, a practice field, you know, just kind of like, so it's not so awkward.
No doubt.
When I actually really, really meet somebody that I want to date. So that's kind of what Tinder is for. Like, if I like you, though, don't trip. We can go on a couple of dates, but I really more so just kind of use Tinder to just kind of see what's out there in Atlanta and see what the water is looking like. I've been out the game for a while, so I didn't want to be too surprised when I got out here.
No, I know what you mean. I've got some interesting Tinder stories that I won't tell right now on the podcast, but I'm off of Tinder, so everyone knows I am off of Tinder, and I don't plan on opening my account back up anytime soon. But for those people who are on Tinder and they come across your profile, they come across your picture, then they shouldn't be alarmed that it's a catfish. It might, in fact, actually be you. So,
yeah, it's definitely me. And I've added more pictures since, so it's like, it's definitely me. If you want to verify with my Instagram, most of the stuff that's on my Tinder is on my Instagram as well.
Well, that's a good one, because with Tinder, you can link your Tinder account to your Instagram, so people will know that if that's the official Instagram, the only way that's going to be linked to your Tinder is if you are, in fact, who you said you are. So that's cool. That's cool. Sweet. Well, Kaylin, do you have anything else you want to share with my audience before we let you go?
Yes. So on August 5th, starting at 12 p.m., we will be having a back-to-school book bag bonanza, if you will. This event is powered by the 1911 Foundation, which is a foundation near and dear to my heart, started by my mentor, and to give back to children in the Atlanta area, as well as, of course, powered by me. And in collaboration with the Stacey Abrams campaign, we'll also be out there passing out information on her. It will be located at the Exchange Recreation Center, which is located at 2771 Columbia Drive in Decatur, where it's greater. So I hope to see you guys all there. Bring your kids. Bring empty bellies. We'll be feeding you guys. The kids can play in the water park. Of course, all free of charge. If you would like to donate or bring anything, reach out to myself via email or DM from either of my social medias, and we will get linked up so I can either get the supplies from you or you can bring them the day of.
That's great. And we just want to make sure that you guys know about that event and you guys support Kaylin as she does her best to impact her community. And she's squatting right now trying to see why you won't be a part of her event. Thank you, Kaylin.
Literally.
Well, Kaylin, thank you so much for being part of the conversation. I appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Hey, thank you, Kaylin. Elisa. Squad Bay for stopping by Culture and Conversations and being part of the conversation. Hey guys, that brings us to the end of Culture and Conversations. If you'd like to reach out to the show, please reach out to me through Facebook. Culture and Conversations is the Facebook page. If you want to reach out to me on Instagram, Culture and Conversations is the Instagram handle. And if you want to send me an email, like that person in Sweden that I'm looking to hear from, you can do so, cultureandconversations@gmail.com. And like my goddaughter would say,
my goddaddy made this.
That's right. You guys be good. A lot of great things are coming up on Culture and Conversations, and I can't wait to share them with you. Stay tuned. Peace.